as Wise Wolf Gold. You can go there through davidknight.gold. Let Tony know that you're coming through us. But again, if you want to prepare for the kind of uncertain, destabilizing situations that we've got, I mean, in Lebanon, amongst other things, of course, along with war, they've got hyperinflation. You take a look at what is happening there to see what is likely to happen in America. You know, Peter Schiff is already talking about that, saying, oh, well, I think gold's going to go up to 26,000 an ounce. Well, that would mean that we're going through hyperinflation, but I think pretty much anything is on the table right now. So we were just talking about toilet paper shortages and everything. There is no shortage of fiat currency. They are making this stuff up as they go along. Of course, a lot of it is digital. It's going to be a little bit hard to use in the bathroom. But joining us now is Tony Arben. Thanks for coming on, Tony.
I guess that's the upside to hyperinflation, as we were discussing off air. It goes hyperinflation. You got toilet paper ready made for you right there. It's your fiat currency. The amount of fiat currency in the world, the answer is more. If you want to know how much fiat currency there is.
Always just a bit more, and not just a little bit more, but a lot more. That's what makes these guys rich and powerful, isn't it, to manipulate that? Well, yesterday we had a bit of a panic. I actually had somebody send us a thing saying, hey, the banks are out. I went to Bank of America, and they said that all the computers are down for all the banks. So I looked at it, it's like, well, no, that's just Bank of America. It wasn't, maybe what the person was saying was maybe it was all of the branch banks of Bank of America were down, because that did happen yesterday. But it just underscores the vulnerability of our entire infrastructure, including the banking system and the computers that are there, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. And there's might be a reason that Warren Buffett sold $10 billion of Bank of America stock just recently got out of that. The whole banking sector is in question, and you know, they might be too big to fail and too big to jail, but not too big to lose your money. And it's electronic. You're exactly, when you make a deposit, that's no longer your money. You're giving that over to the bank. That's just the way banking works. They'll take those currency units and invest them, and then they have an IOU. That's what your bank account is. So yeah. I expect to see more of these kind of glitches, especially with AI and some of these computational systems they've got with banking. And we saw what happened after FTX and Silicon Valley Bank and some of those regional, all the stress was put on those regional banks. This could be a prelude to things to come.
Yeah, I think it was Zero Hedge that had the story about Bank of America, and they put in the little clip that's now become something of a meme from, I think, Family Guy. And the little kid goes into the bank and he says, my grandpa gave me $100 and told me to put it in the bank where it'll be safe. And the guy says, he's a smart guy. Give me that. You know, and he says, and we're going to put it in this and this and this. And he goes, and it's gone. He says, what?
And it's gone.
It just disappeared. He goes, what? Yeah, I just gave it to you. It's gone. He goes, I want to talk to somebody. He goes, you got an account here? He goes, yeah, just open one. He goes, you got any money in it? Well, then you're not a customer. You're gone too. You know, that type of thing. That's what the banks are good for. You know, quite frankly, if Warren Buffett is selling all of this stock, I would expect that if you or I were to had that kind of money and we sold everything all at once and then Bank of America goes down, you might have the FBI knocking on your door, but they won't do that to Warren Buffett. I guess he's not a suspect in the hacking stuff, right?
They absolutely would come after us for sure, but and I think Warren Buffett gets a free pass on stuff like that. Some of those players in the financial system. You know, Warren Buffett, it was kind of a side note for precious metals. Back in the 90s, he did some sort of like quasi-cornering of the silver market, and then he quietly walked away. I always noticed that was interesting because, you know, the Hunts did that in the 70s, the Hunt family in Texas.
Oh, that was a big deal when they did it. Yeah.
It caused them their fortune. And the deep state went after them. They exposed what the weakness of the dollar after we went off the gold standard. But if you go back and look at your history, Warren Buffett did that. He was going to corner the physical silver market, and then it just kind of went away. I don't know if he got a call and said, don't do that, or because in the 90s, you recall, in the 80s and 90s, precious metals were pretty much flat, and the market was up, and then they had the tech stocks and all that, and the bubbles going into the early 2000s, and so you know, we're way past that now, and all those things have been exposed for the drains that they are, not true wealth. But yeah, there was a time that Warren Buffett went after the silver market and then just stopped.
Wow. Wow. You were saying, as we joined you, we were laughing about the toilet paper stuff and everything. We were saying Costco is starting to branch out from selling gold when they've got it to something else. What else is it that they're selling?
They're going to start selling platinum along with their hot dogs and
massive amounts of toilet paper.
Paper towels, toilet paper, and you can get a platinum bar at Costco. They're doing like $100 to $200 million a month in gold bars at Costco. A lot of places, and what I've read is that they'll just front end load them and sell them, and they'll be out. Mm-hmm. So they're selling a massive amount of gold through there. This is, and I think it's just the beginning too, David. I mean, this is like a small sliver of the American consciousness is starting to pick up on, this is money. Oh, I see this is an asset and this is not. Yeah, and
that's right.
The diminishing purchasing power of the dollar bleeding into popular culture. Just we're on the tip of that. I mean, it's nowhere near saturation at this point.
Yeah, I think it was when you were on last week, or sometime this last week, I talked about that. The guy says, well, I haven't had any taxi drivers or barbers trying to sell me on gold or silver. They've always got tips, stock tips and things like that in New York, about what stock I should buy. And he goes, and so we know that there's a massive retail market that hasn't broken yet. It's like after everybody starts telling you need to buy gold, well, then it's at that point in time or whatever it is, whatever stock is, at that point, it's probably oversold by the time it works its way down. But he says he hasn't had anybody telling him that he needs to buy gold. The central banks are kind of keeping it to themselves at this point. They know what they're doing, and they know where this is all headed, and they're making the preparations accordingly. And then at some point in time, everybody else will catch on, and then you will have missed it at that point in time, I guess. We'll be into hyperinflation.
They're definitely not putting out notices to the public, public service announcements saying, you should also have some gold or you should have some precious metals. I noticed the government of Tanzania ordered their miners to sell them 20% of their take whenever they're pulling gold out of the ground. They've been ordered to sell to the central bank for market prices because they're accumulating, which is interesting. That's like that's one of those national moves where they get strategic on their gold placement. And you and I've talked about it for years now about how these countries they hide their gold reserves more than they hide their nuclear weapons, more than they hide their arsenals, and it's more secretive. And you can see that too just around the world, especially as the tensions ramp up. And I was listening to you here in the last couple of hours talk about what's going on in the Middle East and geopolitical tensions. You can see that the gold continuing to move around the world, except for the United States, except for basically in the West, which is really interesting. I was reading a book about gold facts, and they had this write up about aurorophobia, which is the fear of gold. Did you know that that's an actual disease? They treat people I think maybe a lot of our central bankers here in the United States, do they have aurorophobia? Because we don't buy gold. We're afraid of gold. We try to stay away from it as much as possible in the West. And so you're starting to see, somewhat of the public, like in the Costco story here in the United States, picking up gold. But most of the gold price drive, David, is happening because central banks are buying it around the world. Mm-hmm. Governments are hoarding it because they're looking to see a monetary reset and geopolitical tensions and war.
That's right. They're creating inflation. They're creating the financial reset, and they're going to make sure they've got something real to hang on to. But we also see, every day there's more coming out in one place or the other, trying to move us into digital cash, trying to take away cash. And of course, how's that going to work out in a situation like you got in North Carolina and Tennessee where people have no power? If they got a grocery store that's there, they're going to deal strictly in cash. That even happened around here when we went out, and even though we didn't lose power here, the computer terminals were down and they were only taking cash at the store. So, but when you don't have any power, this digital stuff isn't really going to work. But the World Bank now, it's not just an individual company, a country, but of course, this is central, the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, the International Monetary, all of them on the same page. And the World Bank now wants to replace signature some people with biometric data, with digital IDs. If you're going to work in this system, that's what they're going to be doing to us. They're going to push us all into digital biometrics and all the rest of the stuff. It's one of the reasons why I am so focused on the gold and silver stuff. To me, that is as big, if not a more important reason than the financial stuff, because the financial stuff comes and goes. And we go through these cycles, but this is relentless in terms of pushing us into this technocracy. And you got to have something that is real, something that is anonymous, something that is physical, I think, as a counter to that.
Well, I couldn't agree more. If you look at history, what it teaches us is that whenever you have uncertainty, whenever there's inflation, whenever there's debasement by governments, people always turn back to precious metals. And it's not something, I didn't make those rules. It's just the way it is all throughout recorded history. And we have some new technologies right now. You see cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and I support those things. And they're important, especially if they're decentralized, especially if it's something like Bitcoin, where you help your keys, your wallet, your Bitcoin. I like that. And mm-hmm. But you're mentioning the World Bank and, the biometric systems, the Bank of International Settlements, looking for those clearinghouses and doing the same kind of thing with their blueprints for central bank digital currency. These are all things that we need to watch, because that's the grid that they want to put us under. But if you're looking at something outside of the system, truly to really completely be outside of it. And by the way, I support Bitcoin, and I'm going to do more things in Bitcoin in the future with Wise Wolf. But gold and silver are truly outside of it, mm-hmm. because they're not digitized, and they do something that Bitcoin and cryptocurrency can't do. And again, I support crypto. So a lot of the crypto people will think that I'm just a gold bug. No, I support that. But gold and silver exist in the third dimension. You can hold them in your hand. And I'm sorry, that's something that crypto can't do. You can actually see them, touch them, and you can carry them around. They represent a store of energy in this realm. So I would, or a store of value too in this realm. So I would say that that's really going to be important, learning that in the coming years. And I think there's a lot of positive coming out of what's happened over the last 5 years, David. I mean, mm-hmm. with the debasement of the dollar, people caught on that the inflation was just too, it's too much of a shock. It happened too fast. Mm-hmm. And you and I both know that going into 2020, that they had already just done massive currency printing of the dollar, $6 trillion in the overnights for the repo markets. I mean, yeah. That's when I was first coming on your show talking about that. It was like, in like 1 month, we're doing the GDP of like South Korea, and just
Switzerland. And one of these dumps in the repo market, it was the entire GDP of Switzerland, which is the 20th largest economy in the world. I mean, that's just the scale of this derivative fraud that we call the Federal Reserve.
Right. And so we knew going in. And so you add that plus COVID 1984, you add that, and just again, the dollar has been decimated. That's why we're seeing, the price shock at the grocery store, at the gas pump, everywhere, just everything's gone up. I mean, just across, I get notices all the time from things I had on automatic payments, like, oh, we're raising prices, whether it's storage or equipment or supplies. I just see it all the time. People caught on, and they're starting to take notice, and this is why. My Costco's selling $200 million a month. I want some of that Costco business. That would help me expand. I need. Yeah. If you don't go to Costco, come see me. I probably got some other deals that they don't have. I mean,
not really. Not, yeah.
I can't buy toilet paper here. But
that's the thing. We got a local co-op and that we deal with and everything. And I don't. They've got good prices. I'm not going to buy anything that I can buy from the co-op, since it's one of the few local businesses that are left. I'm not going to get it from Amazon. And that's the thing with you. We need to support each other. And your price is better on this stuff than Costco's. Your availability is better. And so, why not help, even if the price is higher? Still go with somebody that I know, somebody that is not going to be like Amazon working to subvert our society and take away our freedom. It's just amazing. They have this big footprint, but we've got to support each other, or we're not going to have anything left. It truly is.
Well, everybody knows that Costco makes it way into the future, because we saw that on Idiocracy, where Costco is actually welcome to Costco. I love you. I don't know if you've watched that movie. It's a documentary, David.
I know.
Idiocracy.
I'm loving it. Yeah.
they definitely make it into the future. I would love some of that. I think we do have to support each other, and especially in these times, and things Again, there's dark clouds on the horizon. There's also opportunities. You know, you see, I think in this is a learning opportunity as well to understand what's really going on.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I began the program by talking about what's happening in Israel and the escalation that's going there. There was an interview with Charles Nenner. He's Dutch economist, and his advice is to get out of stocks. Buy gold, he said. He's warning of the imminent end of the American empire. He said this Iranian missile attack we're seeing is just the beginning. He says, I don't know how big this war is going to be because everybody, he said, is going to be involved. Well, that's kind of interesting. And he says the end of the American empire is just around the corner. And he says, I don't know how these people are going to be able to bring it back. Absolutely. I mean, what do you think about what's going on with all this stuff?
Well, I think, unfortunately, he's most likely right. I think the American empire is coming to an end. We're overextended. We've got treaties that were written by men no longer alive, committing Americans yet unborn to fight on wars. And most people can't find it on the map in places around the world. I think that's what we have, a bankrupt foreign policy. And we have for years. You know, the Cold War lapsed, and instead of rebuilding the Republic and you know, reshoring everything and, you know, having a rebirth of freedom and liberty here in the United States, we just went on the Crusades and we went into the Balkans, we went in the Middle East. It was seven countries in 5 years, you know, what they told Wesley Clark. And I was a part of a few of those wars. And I would say that, you know, you go back to my story going into Iraq and the run on the bank when the people were trying to trade the Iraqi dinar with Saddam Hussein's face on. Nobody wanted the currency. And I went out to buy some things from the market. I bought a Pepsi from a Kurdish kid with a couple of bucks. And I had, you know, I had a couple of US dollars. He took those. He wouldn't take the Iraqi dinar. And now it's illegal to use American dollars in Iraq. So just fast forward, you know, 20 plus years. And now you can't even use the currency that was the world's reserve. I mean, that's where it was accepted around the world. I think that, you know, the moves that we've made, weaponizing the dollar, the arrogance. And I think a lot of this, I mean, you and I would attribute it to being on purpose. You know, that's kind of a controlled demolition in a lot of ways, like just setting us up for failure, whether it's, you know, trying to redline this thing with Russia and Ukraine, just creating tension for the sake of tension or whatever NATO operation that is. And then, you know, with everything with Israel, you and I have both talked about this for since October 7th. And like, you know, this has nothing to do with Hamas. This has nothing to do with terrorism. This has everything to do with nation states. This is Iran, and Iran is tied to Russia. Mm-hmm. These are things that there's linkages in the geopolitical chain. You know, you go back to 1948 when Harry Truman was being counseled on whether or not to recognize the state of Israel, and you had Dean Acheson, his Secretary of State, was saying, well, if we recognize that, it may drive a wedge between Iran and the West. Well, follow that with Operation Ajax and Mossadegh, you know, what we overthrew. And then you were talking about the Shah of Iran and the interventions that we've had. This is all blowback.
Yeah,
we made our decisions back in the late 40s, what we were going to do, the setting up of the Cold War. So all this, when you're talking about what's at, like, that's what most people don't understand. They see the surface level news, but this is grand chessboard. You know, this is resources, this is travel routes, this is trade, this is projections of power. And so you've got Iran is linked with Russia. That's where we are. And of course, that with BRICS nations and then China and all of that, and the sanctions, these countries want to move away from the hegemonic dominance of the American empire. They will overthrow, they will throw off the yoke. And I think that they're succeeding because we're making all of the wrong moves. If we wanted to continue to project power and hold the world's reserve currency, David, in my opinion, we would have brokered deals. There'd be summits, there'd be trade. We've done none of that. We just ramp up sanctions. We dig in. And what did Lord Acton say? Something about the failure of most politicians is clinging to the carcasses of dead policies. Mm. We cling to those dead carcasses.
Well, it certainly don't cling to the dead carcasses of the soldiers who fight their wars, do they? You know, they just pay no attention to that. It is, you know, we look at this, again, going back to George Nenner, he said he'd been something of a Trump supporter, even though he's in he's Dutch and doesn't he's not an American citizen, doesn't vote. I guess if he came in through Mexico, then let him. But he said if winter's coming, he said you go out and you buy a winter coat. And he said at the time that he thought that Trump was the winter coat. But now he's saying, I think even if Trump were to win, I don't think even he can fix what needs to be fixed. He said, it's ridiculous. I don't even know how to fix the U.S. anymore. According to Cycles, the U.S. is finished, he says. This war now will probably turn into a world war. And the problem is that the U.S. will have to fight Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. They have no chance to win. Nobody will have to invade the United States. They'll just finish them off with rockets from the air. Or, you know, the other part of it is that I look at it, I think the U.S. will just kind of collapse from within. I think that is just as likely as a nuclear strike, perhaps even more likely, that it'll just kind of collapse like the Soviet Empire did. I think that's really where we are. And I think that there's a large design to that. You know, Tony, I don't know what you think, but I look at it and what's the big obstacle in the way of global governance? Well, the United States is. And then after that, the European countries are. So they have to eviscerate them. But it's primarily they've got to get the United States down first. And then after they've leveled everything, then they can come in after there's nobody to oppose them. They can bring in the poverty, the austerity, and then they can establish themselves as being in control. I mean, that's the game that I see happening.
Yeah, it's build back better.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that is. In order to build something back better, you have to destroy it first. And the way that they want to build something back, right, they want to build up this new world order. They want to build up a one world government. They got to get rid of it. The United States is pesky with its tradition of the rule of law and the Bill of Rights, you know, the freedom of speech and assembly and, you know, the right of the individual's private property, David. We got to get rid of that. Now, the Second Amendment, for sure, we can't have these human beings being able to defend themselves against tyrannical government. So that's the I don't think it's that difficult to really drill down to understand what they're doing here, which is, you could, like the border is a great example. It's you make everybody feel psychologically where they're just, they're helpless. Like we can't even secure our border. Like we're a pitiful giant. We have tens of thousands of nuclear weapons. We've got submarines. We've got the ability to launch satellites and, you know, all this other stuff and just massive technology and we can do anything supposedly, but, we can't stop people from coming over our border illegally. We just helpless. They just walk over. We're Sherpas, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's on purpose to make you feel helpless. Where you can't fix it. And of course, you know, the voting cycles over and over again. If we just get enough Republicans, if we just vote for them, they run on the same thing. They've been running on the same thing since I was a little boy. Okay. They never fix the problems. It's their favorite thing. It's like telling the pharmaceutical companies, you know, they're like, we just got to find a cure for cancer. Like, just keep giving us money. We'll find a cure for cancer or major diseases. Just make new diseases. So I think that's what's happening with our politics. And they're just running out the clock. In my opinion, they've got their golden parachutes. A lot of the high ups and the people in the ruling class, they've got their golden. They're leaving the rest of it. It's like a Viking funeral ship. It's on fire. Yeah. They're just going to abandon us. I think just really just setting the charges too, because look at all the kinetic wars that they want to get us into. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching that. And it's amazing because unless you've studied, geopolitical history and foreign policy, and I guess I'm kind of nerdish like that. It's kind of one of the things that I've done. I was fascinated by that. There is no more diplomacy. I don't even know why there's a State Department anymore.
Yeah, but they're not interested in talking to anybody. They're not interested in trying to pull anything back for peace. It's full-on war. They want war. Anything they can do to escalate war, nothing will they do to provide peace or security. They want chaos inside our country. When you look at the Soros district attorneys or you look at the border policies, they want utter chaos. They want to take everything down. Financially and every other aspect. Again, this guy is saying, he says, look, we're telling all of our clients to get out of the stock market. He said, we think that gold is a place to be for the next 3 years. He said, the dollar is not going to be a major currency. He said, Saudi Arabia has ended the petrodollar. And so he said, it doesn't have anything backing it anymore. It's just a fiat currency. And so we're kind of at this moment, I think, that you would always see in the Roadrunner Coyote films, where the character, the coyotes run off the edge of the cliff, and he can keep going for a little while, and then eventually he looks down and there's nothing below him, and then he just drops like a rock. And that's really, I think, the best analogy for that is the economy and the way the markets and the public react to things like that. They can, you can get these people running on thin air and hopium, but at some point, before they go too far, they look down, they see there's absolutely nothing there, and then the economy just tanks. Yeah, he says he thinks it's going to be worse than the 1929 stock market crash.
I agree.
Who knows?
And I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to agree. Just look, based off of my reading of history and how over-leveraged we are. And this just, again, goes back to being over-leveraged, not enough equity. It's I mean, it gets technical. You talk about how much debt we have worldwide, how much GDP. You can kind of forget about that in a way. What value do these stocks bring? What value, what true equity do these companies have? Or what true earnings do they have? So if you're in the traditional stock markets, which is hundreds of trillions around the world, just really focus on those companies. And do they make money? Do they provide services to their customers? But take out their central bank. If they're not dealing directly with the central bank, those companies typically on Wall Street aren't profitable. It's the relationship they have with the banking system, and the banking system is all about leveraging new currency and debt. So this isn't going to turn out well. If I'm going to be investing in something right now, I'm going to look at hard assets. I'm going to look at things like land, and I'm going to look at things like your own business. Because it's something you can control, whatever value you can. So the closer that you can get away from counterparty risk, the better. Because all of these systems and these companies are built on cheap fiat currency, which is fake, and debt. And that's why a true analysis on this is pretty bleak. And it has nothing to do with being me favoring precious metals. It's just looking at the reality of these companies truly aren't profitable. And even back in the 90s, I remember my dad telling me, he's like, you know, if they look at these companies, they're 100 times earnings. This is insane. Son, he's telling me about how, like, this is not how you would value a company, because I don't have, you know, my dad had, you know, convenience stores and real estate. And he was an entrepreneur and still is. And he would just tell me, like, that's not how you truly value a company. I don't have money in this, because I always ask him, what do you buy, kind of stocks do you buy? I don't have any. Like, I invest in my own companies. And the reason is because of these projections.
Yeah. So, and when you look at the stock market, I mean, so much of it is just based on AI. And it's an AI bubble, like the dot-com bubble. And they got ahead of expectations. It was just an article. I haven't talked about it yet, but there's an article by a guy from MIT. And he's had a lot of success as an analyst. But what he was saying was, he said, look, I only think that there's only going to be about 5% of the jobs that are going to be replaced or seriously augmented by artificial intelligence. He said it's been oversold, and you're not going to see the kind of things that they're expecting that's going to support these price to earning ratios like you're talking about. That's not going to happen for a very long time. And at some point, people are going to figure this out. And that's, you know, that's a big part of this inflated stock market right now. On the other side, I want to get your take on this, because I know that, you know, you're friendly with Bitcoin and open to Bitcoin. Aaron Day is as well. You know, he's trying to get out of the system, and he's looking at everything that he can to get out of the system, whether it's Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency, and how can he keep that private? He's looking at gold and silver, all of the above he's working on all the time. But I've seen a couple of articles now. They're coming from gold bugs like Peter Schiff and Jesse Colombo. But both of them are talking about how when what we've seen this last week or so, this decoupling of Bitcoin from reaction to geopolitical crisis, as this is ramping up, we're seeing gold go way up, but Bitcoin is not. As a matter of fact, it goes down. So, you know, it's always been sold as a digital gold, but that's not what is happening now. Is this kind of a moment like we saw at one point in time with the paper gold and paper silver, where it stopped tracking with gold, and we said, wait a minute, what's up with this? And you look closer and you find out there's something out there. Well, what do you think about this idea that Bitcoin seems to be decoupled from gold and decoupled from the, or inversely affected by these geopolitical crises, at least right now?
Yeah, I've noticed that and read into those same points. And I would say that, again, gold and silver, have such a they're so rooted in our consciousness and in our history as people. You just go back and it's just familiar. It's just with us. I mean, in the modern era, we've somewhat walked away from them because we don't see them as money in the popular consciousness every single day, but it does. It's still a remnant. It's still there. I think what you're looking at when you see Bitcoin fall a little bit, when these geopolitical tensions ramp up, and I think because Bitcoin really, it's not so much, it's not digital gold. It's not like a safe haven for, geopolitical turnout or any kind of turmoil or anything like that. Or economic downturns. In my opinion, Bitcoin is a long-term bet on integrations for the system itself. It's not exactly like digital gold. It's not exactly a safe haven in that way. But I think long-term it's a bet. It's a bet that, there will not be Armageddon. Because if there yeah. is a massive war and upheaval and tension, I don't think that's good for Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. I think Bitcoin's about markets and emerging technologies and payment systems and things like that. If we're talking about kinetic warfare, sabotage, that kind of things going on around the world, I don't think Bitcoin fares well in that condition.
Yeah, that condition kind of drop back to the basics.
You do. I think you just get back. And maybe it stunts the timeline a bit. If I'll still be, in Bitcoin, regardless, I think, because it's a bet on that there will be markets and there will be mm-hmm. innovations and there will be, a need for it. I think there is a need for Bitcoin, by the way. If you look at, like we just talked about, I mean, digitally, I can't take my gold and send it to you right now, David. Like, if I want to pay David Knight, I want to give him a gold coin, I'm going to have to mail it to you for you to hold that physical coin. So that's mm-hmm. a drawback to that. And there are some other cryptos that can do that. But Bitcoin takes care of that problem right now. And then so I think that's something that Bitcoin can do. But it hasn't quite gained the status of safe haven. And I don't think that it's going to for a while. I think gold is still going to be that. We got years and years of left where gold and a lot of the Bitcoin people, especially the Bitcoin maximalists, will say that Bitcoin's going to demonetize gold and silver. It's not, guys. It's not. It's not going to demonetize gold. I'm sorry. It's not. But gold and silver will always be some kind of money. And I think they all serve a purpose. But I think this was interesting, to watch the chart. Bitcoin's been stuck in this like $60,000 range for since March.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just kind of holding there. And I think it's because there's still, a lot. It's still volatile. A lot of adoption's happening, but it's not quite the safe haven yet. But long term, I think it looks really good so long as there's civilization.
And it is pretty amazing to think it was just a few years ago that, it was under 20,000. Now we're saying, well, it seems to be stuck around the 60,000 level.
Right.
People will be excited about that. I got a couple of comments and questions for you. Junk Silver says, Wolfpack is awesome. Highly recommended. Yes, absolutely is. I would recommend it as well. And I do. And I recommend doing business with Tony. It's great to have people who are going to support us and somebody who is on our side and somebody who is helping to give people real information. Tony follows this show coming up today on Thursday. You got a show today, right?
Yes, sir. Right here on Rockfin. I'll be on the America Unplugged channel, and my ex at Tony Arterburn, I'll be live there. So come join us.
That's great. Before you go, though, I've got a question for you. This is from Brian and Deb McCartney. David, had Tony heard that the U.S. does belong to BRICS? I've not heard that. Have you heard that?
No, I kind of joked that we should apply. See what all the fun, what all the fuss is about.
Yeah. Do it as a hedge, right? we'll join BRICS too. Yeah.
I think I'll join BRICS. I get South African Krugerrands already, so I think I should be an honorary member. I think it's just a hedge a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, it was Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. That was the S there. So if you got a Krugerrand, I guess you're maybe got a toe in it. I don't know, but that's really based on the value of the gold. Yeah, when you look at what they're trying to do, I mean, they will say, well, it's about this or that. We don't like Russia's aggression, all the rest of the stuff. But when they're blowing up these gas pipelines going into Germany, everybody eventually figured out that what this is really about is trying to create a hegemony of gas and energy supply into Germany. They've got a whole different agenda that nobody talks about in public, really. You know, it's just, it eventually comes out, and everything they tell us is a lie, and everything that they do is for this massive, you know, their desire to rule the earth. You know, it's just like Pinky and the Brain. Every day it's another plot to take over the world, and everything they do is like that. They're not for peace. They're not for helping us, as we can see now with the aftermath of this hurricane. But we certainly do appreciate what you do to help us, Tony. And again, if you want to have some wealth protection, if you want to have wealth insurance, if you want to have something to fall back on when it really does hit the fan, if you want to be outside of this digital trap that they're making for everybody. You know, you talk about it being a web, you talk about being a net. Boy, I tell you, this digital ID stuff is looking more and more like a web and a net all the time, doesn't it? But if you want to get outside of that stuff, think about getting gold and silver. And Tony is your guy. He can help you with small or large transactions. And Wolfpack is great. Anything you want to tell us about what's going on at Wolfpack? Anything new other than scrambling around as much as you can for supply as everybody's starting to turn this direction, right?
It is getting crazier. We get more and more people join Wolfpack, which I appreciate, and that helps the buying pool. Everybody gets a better deal. I just bought, I think yesterday we bought like 600 ounces of silver rounds that like it's kind of vary between mints, and those are all going to go into Wolfpack. Lots of fractional good stuff. I mean, if you do promo code, if you go to davidknight.gold and you hit the tab says join Wolfpack, if you do the promo code 1776, free silver. My ladies here that pack every day here from Branson. And by the way, if you join Wolfpack, one of the things that people like about us, I don't keep your money almost at, like it's with like a day or two. Mm-hmm. Like, so within, if you pay us on automatic, we get your package out and we get a tracking number. I don't want to keep your medals. I want it out of the door. That's a lot of people have asked me how long does it take to get it? I'm like, well, I've made the system. We've got a great crew, by the way, my folks that I hired. It's a mother and daughter, and they used to work and run a UPS store. They just any kind of package issue, any kind of tracking issue, or any they all know all the ups and downs of that. So I've got a speedy system that we've built, and this is we're a long way from when I started. I can tell you that this is I used to just be me and my dog and my notepad, and I'd take deals, and whenever I would. You know, want to go like a host for you down in Austin when you were down there, I would just close the shop. And now I've got two shops and we buy all the time. I can't keep up with it. So oh, yeah. I'm pretty thankful that we've got so much business. It's because of the times that we're in.
Yeah. So, right. And you're going to have a lot more, and you're going to be getting a lot more of it real soon. We're living in interesting times, and I think it's going to be like trying to drink out of a fire hose, I think, before too long. I think it's really going to take off. Well, it's always great talking to you, Tony. Thank you so much, Tony Arteman, Wise Wolf Gold, and you can find him at davidknight.gold. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Listening to The David Knight Show.